Enough words to describe it. If you turn with me in your Bibles, we'll be looking at John chapter 8, and we'll be reading verses 31 through 36. This has been a week of battling for me. It's been an interesting week. My son became quite ill, and also I became quite ill. Approximately, I think, Tuesday it was. It started to happen, and Wednesday it really got pretty bad. Both my son and I were running a fever, and my wife and I and a few others, we just began to pray against that. And by the next morning, all of our symptoms were gone. My son's fever had gone down. My fever had gone down, and we were right back to normal. But it took, a lot of prayer to get that result. We really had to go in and dig in deep. And that's one of the problems that we have in the church, is that we want everything quick. And that although we may not see the results that we want to see immediately, we must continue to confess the word of God and cause there to be reconciliation, which means to bring into balance until we make the situation say what the word of God says. And I was holding my son. I was walking through the kitchen, praying in tongues and cursing that sickness to die, that fever to come down. And no, it did not come down. There was many hours of prayer that went into it before it finally started coming down. And I declared that by the next morning he would be well, and by the next morning he was well. And I'll admit that we were getting a little bit concerned, but I said, I'm going to believe the word of God. The word of God is true. And the scripture says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And that whenever you let your carnal nature, your senses dictate as to how you're going to behave, you have lost the battle. You will end up in death. But when you follow the Spirit of God and the Word of God, it will end in life and peace. If you have John chapter 8, say amen. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I want to read that verse again to really emphasize the point of my message today. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Today I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, Free of Charge. Free of Charge. Praise God. One thing, before we go into prayer, I really want to emphasize the point that we are in a war, and that spiritual warfare is constantly raging around us. That became very evident even this week as I was praying for my son. I honestly believe it was a spirit of infirmity. But the fact of the matter is, in this war, we cannot tire, nor can we give up, or nor can we give out. And one of the things I noticed that during this time of warfare and dealing with this illness that was attacking both myself and my son, that I prayed a little harder, prayed a little longer, with more intensity. Because the fact of the matter is, I needed to have a result. Something had to change. And I found myself getting deep into the Spirit of God when I was going into that prayer. And something really began to hit me that if I prayed like this all the time, if I prayed as if this was my last breath, if I prayed that if I don't get through this, I'm going to die, imagine the results I would get. The Bible said that the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so when we go into prayer today, I don't want just to go through the routine. I don't want to just do the customary God's blessing on the word. But I want us to really dig in and really start declaring some things and really start believing some things and start seeing some things happen and pray with intensity. Not with an apathy, but with an intensity, with a passion that God, we are seeking your face and God, we are wanting to see manifestation. Do you believe that with me today? Praise God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. God, we worship you. There truly is none is like you. You alone are sovereign. You alone are majestic and exalted and extolled. You alone are above all principalities, powers, thrones, dominions, and governments. All things are subject unto your rule and under your dominion. And even now in the name of Jesus Christ, we declare your rule. We declare your reign in this place today. We even bind the adversary and we arrest the enemy today. We thwart his efforts and we sever his connection and his influence to be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. And I declare in the name of Jesus that there would be liberty, that there would be deliverance. I speak in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name, to which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I declare in the name of Jesus that people would leave this place delivered and liberated, that they would not leave in the same bondage that they were in, but that they would leave empowered and enabled by the glory and the majesty of Jesus, the living God. In the name of Jesus, I declare it done now. I declare liberty now. I declare healing now. I declare deliverance now. In the name of Jesus, the enemy shall not have any authority in here. He shall not have any dominion in here, nor shall we give any place to him. But in the name of Jesus, we declare liberty in the house of God. I declare it now in Jesus' name. The name of Jesus. Right now in Jesus' name, God, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. And in Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say, amen. I might as well take my coat off because I feel like preaching today. Praise God. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about freedom, about liberty. We just celebrated Independence Day, where we are giving thanks for the independence and the freedom and the liberty that we have been afforded to us as American citizens. And the one thing that has been in the forefront in the news lately has been the issue of rights, being of civil rights or gay rights or even the rights of freedom of speech, particularly the freedom of religion has been one of great contest and of great battle and fighting. And I want to talk to you today about rights. I want to talk to you today about what freedom is, and we're going to be looking at the United States of America to really illustrate and to bring that particular thought across. In the United States of America, one of the most fundamental and celebrated of principles is the idea of freedom. Its citizens are endued with certain inalienable rights which enable them to live their lives however they choose. Americans are free to vote. They are free to elect whoever they want to represent their interests before the government, before the world. We are free to own property, whether it be a vehicle or whether it be land or a home. We are free to educate and to be educated. We are free to receive education and to find also a job. We are free to find work and to labor in any particular career field. We also are free to criticize, which is very evident as we see in the public forum, that people are very critical of the president. They're critical of each other. They are critical of all means of media and through all means of public debate. They are critical. We have the right to criticize our government. That's one of the beauties of a democracy. We are free to marry, which again has been really been put to the test in the court system recently as the Supreme Court ruled on the issue of gay marriage. We are free to amuse or entertain ourselves by any way possible, whether it be in by watching a movie or participating in some recreational sport, or particularly watching a video game or playing a video game. We are free to travel and to move about as we please. We have all these freedoms that we have and that we live in today. But the real question I want to ask is not the freedom of speech, not the freedom to protest or to criticize, not the freedom to elect or to participate in the democratic process, or the freedom to own property. But my question is this: are Americans free of charge? Are Americans free of charge? What do I mean by this question? To answer it, we must analyze the real land of the free, and it's not America, to be quite honest. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 15. America is called the land of the free and the home of the brave. And I don't doubt that America has many liberties and freedoms that many other countries do not. But it is not truly the land of the free, which you're going to see in just a moment. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, this is God talking to Adam. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Adam and Eve were truly free. I mean, they only had one law. There was only one rule that they were given. They were truly free. They were not under any type of oppressive or tyrannical government whatsoever. They could do whatever they chose, literally. They had only one rule to abide by. God said they could eat of any tree they wished. However, they shouldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They had freedom of ability, but were not free of responsibility or the consequences of their actions. What I mean by free of charge is that, yes, we as Americans have the right and we have the privilege to choose whatever we want. But no matter what choices you have or whatever government issues a decree or edict of liberty to you, you are not free of the charges that can be brought against you or the consequences of the actions that you exercise when walking in that liberty or in that freedom. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. No matter how many laws the courts of man create or supposed rights it gives, it can never liberate a person from the control and the consequences of sin. Yes, they will vote in Congress. Yes, they will issue all sorts of decrees from the Supreme Court. But no matter how many liberties the government pretends to give you, you are not free of the charge that can be brought against you when you are walking in sin or the consequences that may arrive at the decisions that you make. The Bible makes it very clear in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody is enslaved to sin or born into sin. The Bible said that I was born and sinned and my mother conceived me. That we're all born with a sinful nature, are all slaves to this practice. And there is no government, there is no law, there is no legislature that can wipe the slate clean, or that can give you that type of freedom. You are not free of the charge that is there. Mankind may be free to sin, but they are not free of the sin. You may have the right to do whatever you choose, but you will always be held captive by the sin that is in your life. They are not free of charge. And when I say free of charge, I mean two things. One, free of judgment, meaning accusation or condemnation. Two, free of penalty, meaning punishment or the cost for paying for that sin. No matter what you do, no matter if you get away from it from the court of the law, you will not escape the judgment that God has set. There's nothing that you can do. There's no decree that can be given that annuls the accusation or the condemnation that one receives when they are living in a lifestyle of sin. The Bible says in Romans 2:1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? We think that we can get away with it. He says you're inexcusable. And the fact of the matter is that you will judge someone and try and put some sort of charge against someone when you yourself are not free of charges that are brought against yourself. The Supreme Court, as lofty as it is, being the highest law in the land, is also guilty of atrocities and crimes and evils and wickedness itself. And even though it judges other people, it one day will come under the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court of Law, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It itself has participated in abominations and vile acts of wickedness and iniquity. It itself cannot cleanse or bring righteousness through its edicts or through its dictates. It can do nothing. There is only one law that is truly able to judge us. And there is only one lawmaker that is able to pardon us from the judgment that is to come and to free us from the cost and the penalty that sin is to have. I want to take a moment just to comment on the climate that is in our country, particularly in relation to the gay rights movement. I know that it's a sticky subject, and it's one that angers a lot of people. And to be quite honest, I wasn't going to say very much. But as I began to see certain things popping up, I couldn't sit silent. I was just reading in the news just this morning that a bakery has been fined $135,000 because they will not give a wedding cake to a lesbian couple. Think about it. It's already started. Now, don't get me wrong that the Supreme Court ruling did not surprise me nor shock me. The fact of the matter is people were participating in this sin prior to its ruling and would have participated in this sin after the fact. But the thing is that really just gets me is the fact that they are flaunting it to such a degree that they are demanding you to validate it and to give into it. They want you to affirm it. They want you to protect it. They want you to participate in it. And if you don't, they will penalize you. They will judge you. They will fine you. And one of the things that really just did it for me was I was on Facebook and I saw a photo. It was a collage of four photographs. And in the photographs, there were two lesbians that were naked on crosses with a crown of thorns on their head kissing each other. That, and this was in a parade. They had another man dressed as Jesus Christ, crown of thorns and fake blood coming down him, making out with another man while on the cross. Why are they doing that? I'm going to tell you why. John chapter 3, verse 19 says this, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Let me tell you something. They want to campaign for rights and for freedom. But the moment that your rights somewhat impede their relationships, suddenly they get all mad and upset and start coming after you with the law. Because you don't agree with what they are doing, they'll come after you. They hate the light. What is the light? John 8, 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." They hate Jesus Christ. It's why that the natural logical step in their parades and in saying that we are proud of our sexuality and our identity is to next attack Jesus Christ. Why? Because his light and his righteousness and his goodness convicts them of their sin and shows them what real love is supposed to be. And so they want a license and a freedom to do all these things, even at the expense of demeaning and trampling on the rights of the Christian and the believer because they hate the light. People hate the light because it exposes their wickedness and holds them accountable to the judgment and the penalty of sin. They're doing this because they want to think that they can get this free of charge, that you can live a life of sin and ungodliness and be free of the penalty and be free of the consequences and be free of the judgment that comes with such a lifestyle. I'm afraid to tell you that that is not the case. The Bible says that God is not mocked, that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I say this not because I am homophobic. I say this because I love homosexuals, and Jesus Christ does too. And the scripture says that open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And the fact of the matter is that people are not going to hell because of homosexuality. They're not going to hell because of sin. They're going to hell because they're rejecting the only remedy for that sin. The fact of the matter is that they love darkness more than they love the light. They love their sin more than they love Jesus Christ. And because Jesus is the way, and he is the truth, and he is the life, he is the only way to salvation and eternity. Because they reject that, they will never receive the righteousness and the reward that awaits us in heaven. It is because they're despising of Christ that the Bible says that they will die in their sins. Jesus said, unless you believe in me, you will die in your sins. They want to be free of charge. I want you to come with me back to John 8:31. John 8:31 says in our scripture text, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Point number one is a person needs to gain a knowledge of truth. Tyranny, oppression, and enslavement have dominion where there is ignorance of the truth. You look in your American history and you watch how the slave owners kept slaves in check. They kept them uneducated. They kept them illiterate. Because if you could read, you could do a lot of things. If the slaves could read and they could read a book that took them to some faraway land, they'd want to go visit that faraway land and not remain in their enslavement. Their mind could get free. And once the mind gets free, the body wants to follow suit. And if a slave could escape, and if they could read, they could follow street signs and could avoid capture. Wherever there is ignorance, there is tyranny, there is oppression, and there is enslavement. The Bible tells me in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Wherever the enemy is able to afflict you and to oppress you is an area where you are not walking in truth. Remember what the Bible says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Because if you're walking in truth, the enemy cannot touch you. For the Bible says that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And as long as you stay in the truth, the devil is unable to harm you, because the lie cannot beat the truth. And that's why Jesus said, I am the way and I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That you need to enter in by the straight gate. For broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to righteousness. You need to walk in the truth. And when you walk in truth, the devil is unable to afflict you. The devil is unable to manipulate you. The devil is unable to deceive you. You need to walk in the truth and arm yourself with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and get this truth inside of you and look at the enemy and say, it is written, and say, thus saith the Lord. And that's why the gay right movement is trying to oppress the word of God, because the truth convicts them of their sin. They don't want to hear the truth because the truth beats the lie that they're walking in. They hate the truth and they hate darkness. They would choose darkness over the light. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You may be in sin. You may be struggling with an issue. You might be fighting a battle that you think that you cannot win. You need to arm yourself with the word of God and become educated, because grace will be multiplied to you. Peace shall be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. That the more of God's word gets into my heart, the less worried I am about the situation. I told you earlier that when my son had a fever of 102.6 degrees and it was looking like we had to take him to the hospital, I got the word of God out and said that by his stripes that we are healed. I got the word of God out and said that he sent his word and healed us of our diseases and delivered us of our destruction. And I looked that disease in the face and I told that disease, I curse you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will not have dominion over me. You will not take my son and you will not take me, because I know the truth. And devil, you're a liar. The devil is a liar. You better hear me today. The devil is a liar. We need to walk in truth. Grab that joker by the throat and say, you will bow your knee to Jesus Christ. You will confess that he is the master physician, that he is the healer, that he is the doctor. He is my lawyer. He is my shield and my refuge. He is my strong defense. He is the light of the world. He is my deliverer in whom I will trust. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and are safe. Tell you the truth. If you're going to be free of the accusations of the enemy, if you want to be free of the charge that the devil is trying to bring against you, you've got to get the grace and peace to be multiplied to you. And you get it multiplied to you through the word of God. Verse 33 in John. Back to my scripture text. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed." You could tell they were ghetto. Man, we be Abraham's seed. Had a little. Anyway, look. Man, we be Abraham's seed. And we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Notice something. That they base their freedom on who they were born to. They were basing their freedom by their birth. They thought they were free because they identified themselves with their heritage, and said, because we are of the seed of Abraham, we have never known slavery. Because we are of the seed of Abraham, we've never had to subject ourselves to any man. I wrote this in my brownie points, and I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself, but I kind of want to just talk about this, that the excuse that people are using these days is that I was born this way. I was born this way. And therefore, I have a doctor's note that excuses me from the consequences and the charges and the reality of my lifestyle. But the fact of the matter is, that is still a bogus excuse, because you can be born again and born another way. And the fact of the matter is that these individuals, although their premise was correct, in a sense, they misunderstood, because that this being of Abraham's seed would not guarantee you freedom. Because although Abraham was, as some would say, the father of faith, he still was born in sin and could not redeem and could not make any person free of charge. Go to verse 34. It says, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. It does not matter from what family you come from. It does not matter what royalty or pedigree that you want to parade in front of us to try and validate and substantiate your lifestyle. It does not matter. You are still a slave to your habits and a slave to your decisions. Whatever you choose to obey is your master. It controls you. And so people that are in sin, they are victims and prisoners of the practice. And they are unable, they are incompetent enough to liberate themselves from such a thing. And because of that, and because they use, I was born this way. They say there's nothing that can be done to change the reality, so let's just excuse this thing and get on with our lives. But the fact of the matter is, the scripture tells me that whoever you choose to obey is your master, which means you have a choice whether or not, doesn't matter how you were born, you have a choice to make whether or not to listen to that addiction, to listen to that affliction, to listen to whatever the situation is. Whatever you listen to and you obey is your master. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of disobedience unto righteousness." Whatever you choose becomes your master. Whatever you obey becomes your master. And some of you, although you say that Jesus Christ is the head of my life and all this other stuff, some of you are lying through your teeth because you are choosing things that are over Christ. I know you don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. Any area where something has dominion over your life where God does not, that thing is your God and that thing is your master. The scripture tells me in Matthew 6:24 that no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one or love the other. You got a decision to make. Is it going to be your sin or is it going to be Jesus Christ? Just tell it like it is. I'm in the book. Verse 35. "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. I want you to understand something. Something really amazing is that salvation has in many ways been misrepresented. It has been mistaught because we equate salvation by just following rules and regulations. But even as I stated earlier, that the following of rules and laws cannot necessarily eradicate a sinful condition necessarily. That the fact of the matter is that sin is more than just a behavior, it's an identity. It's more than just an action, it's a nature. And that there are people that are in church who are not necessarily born again, they're just convicted sinners. Let that sit for a minute. You're not necessarily born again, you're just a convicted sinner. Which means you have all the outer trappings of walking in righteousness, but your nature is still the same. Jesus looked at the Pharisees, he called them vipers. He said, you're like sepulchers with whitewashed walls because on the outside you look pretty, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. Salvation is a change in nature. I once was lost and now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. It's been asked, can a leopard change his spots? When you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, the spots go away. There's a change in nature. Jesus Christ wants to take you from being a servant to being a son. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but a son does. And some of you, you may be walking as a servant, but God wants you to become a son, a complete transformation, a change of nature and identity. To be free of charge, you must make a decision, however, to change your actions. The Bible says in James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That you've got to make a decision. Well, I don't feel like it. There's nothing I can do. You've got to make a decision. You've got to make a choice. But I'm tired of living my life this way. I'm tired of being a slave to this particular addiction, to this particular condition, this sin. I want to be free. And the only way you can become free is by you making a choice. Got to make a choice. Verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free. Notice it did not say set free. It said make. Not just setting up, opening a door. Because the fact of the matter is, it's more than just an external condition. It's an internal condition. God had to remake you. God didn't just, he didn't save us in our sins. He saved us from our sins. He changed everything that was within us. We were itself sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we were sin itself. It wasn't that we could just, you know, scrub it up a little bit and clean it up. We were filthy from the inside out. And Jesus Christ had to come in and say, let me make you free. Let me make you over. Let me recreate some things. For the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, but all things have become new. The Bible tells me in Romans 8:2 that the law of the Spirit of life hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The Bible tells me in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That God wanted you to become something. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light because he wanted you to become just like him. For as he is, so are we in this world. For now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Jesus Christ said that wherever I am, the enemy cannot oppress. Wherever I dwell, the devil cannot enslave you. And so because I'm not in you, you still remain in prison. But when you get baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, and the Spirit of liberty comes inside of you, there is liberty on the inside. The devil can no longer torment you. The devil can no longer control you. The devil can no longer oppress you. You've got to get
the spirit of liberty. And don't let the devil try and steal your liberty. For the Bible says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Tell you today, we've got to get liberty and start standing on the premise of liberty. Free of charge. Free of charge. It's often been said that freedom is not free. And it's so true. Because know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that you are bought with a price. That the freedom and the liberty that we have is not on Independence Day. Was not on July 4th, 1776. It was more like 32 AD at Calvary when Christ said, Talisti, it is finished. You want to talk about a declaration of independence? You want to talk about an emancipation proclamation? God emancipated me. God brought me from a mighty long way. He took me out of the pit and put my feet on a solid rock to stay. God transformed me from the inside out. I was a wretch. I was depraved. I was blind. I was a nobody. I was a reject. But God said, I'm righteous. God called me holy. God called me redeemed. God called me forgiven. Free of charge. And so when the enemy comes into your room and tries to remind you of what you did, you remind him of his future. And you say, I've been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. And they overcame the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And you start getting up and say, I can remember so many years ago when I went down to an altar of repentance and I gave my life to Christ. And the Bible said that you that are in Christ, sin hath no more dominion over you. I can remember when his spirit came inside and I experienced true liberty, free of accusations, free of condemnation, free of judgment, free of oppression, free of the tyrannical reign of this chaotic dictator called the devil. And I became under the liberty of Christ Jesus, the righteous one, free of charge. For whom the Son has made, he has made you free. He has made you free. You are free indeed. You are free indeed. Praise God. Praise God. I'm not sure this is hitting you just right. Don't you understand that God who's the lawmaker, blows my mind, because I just quoted to you that God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. I sowed death into my soul. I sowed hell, fire, and damnation, judgment, and condemnation into my own soul. But yet God, by his omnipotent righteousness and mercy, by his grace, said, you shall not reap corruption, because I have sown another seed inside of you. For the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God wants to make you free of charge. Free of charge. You need to be born again. Homosexuality is not bigger than any other sin. Liars and thieves and adulterers, fornicators, extortioners, the Bible says, will all find their way in the lake of fire. And even though I may have a tendency to commit a certain sin, it does not excuse me from the consequences of that sin. Nor does it give me the right to stand in God's face and say, well, don't judge me and don't tell me the truth and give me a parade and celebrate my wickedness. No, you need to be born again. If you could save yourself, then Jesus Christ would not have had to come to die on the cross. If it wasn't, he said, Father, if it's possible, look, I don't want to do this. I don't want to die. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But it was necessary for Christ to bleed. It was necessary for Christ to be nailed to that rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. He was nailed to that cross because he had to for our salvation. Salvation is not about what you can do. Salvation is about what he did 2,000 years ago. I gotta quit. I gotta quit. Y'all stand up. Get up. I gotta quit. The law of the spirit of life hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Again, no matter what law they make in America, or in any country, any sovereign nation in this world, it cannot liberate you. It cannot. It cannot make you free of the charges that the devil will bring against you. That's what the devil's called. It's called the accuser of the brethren. He's the master prosecuting attorney. He makes the FBI and the CIA look like nothing. He's got dirt on you that nobody knows. Or he thinks. He thinks he's got me. He thinks he's found the evidence. My Bible said that my life was hid with Christ in God. And he can tell all the evidence he wants. God said, not guilty. God said, not guilty. For whom the Son hath made free. He is free indeed. He is free indeed. You're free. You're free. You are free. Again, the law of the Spirit of life hath made me free from the law of sin and death. God wants to make you free. God doesn't want to just change your action. He wants to change your nature. Because when the heart is changed, the action will come later. For it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. It's from the heart that the issues of life flow from. God wants to change your heart. He wants to make you free. What's so amazing? Look through American history. And in 1863, when the Emancipation Proclamation was made, and hundreds of thousands of slaves were free, it wasn't until over 100 years later that they actually started walking in that freedom. Because even though they were saying, oh yes, separate but equal, segregation, so that you're new United States citizens, they couldn't vote, couldn't sit in the front of the bus, couldn't sit in certain places in a restaurant. Oh yes, you're free. It took 100 years or so before people finally started getting fed up and said, you know what, I'm tired of this. Till Rosa Parks said, look, I'm tired, I worked all day. You're going to have to move me from this seat. What if the people of God got that attitude? Gay people are bragging about them coming out of the closet. It's time for the Christians to come out of their prayer closets and start preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time that we start preaching. I've said it before. There's not a law in this land. You can't legislate righteousness. The only thing that can change and stop the evil in this world is the word of God. Is the love of Jesus Christ. I say this again. That I don't hate sinners. But I do hate sin. The scripture tells me in Psalm 97:10, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. If you love God, you're going to hate evil. In Proverbs 8:13, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Arrogancy and pride, or pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. If you fear God, which means you respect him and you love him, you will hate the things that he hates. And he hates evil. He hates evil. He hates wickedness. He hates unrighteousness. He loves you, but he's not accepting that. And you don't deceive yourself and think that you can live your life anyway and walk into heaven. You can't dial any phone number and expect to get a hold of me. And you can't dial any phone number and expect to get a hold of Jesus. And not all roads lead to heaven. There's only one way. There's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You've got to hate evil. You've got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. I will no longer be a slave to the devil. I will no longer be a slave to the tyrannical rule of my addictions. But instead, the Lord is going to make me free. The Emancipation Proclamation has been stated. He said it's finished. It's time to receive your walking papers. I open these altars today. Whatever thing is enslaving you, whatever wicked slave master has beat you and got you to say your name is Toby instead of Kunta Kinte,
We need to change that back. And you need to understand who you really are. Your identity is in Christ Jesus. Your identity is in Jesus Christ. The Son has made you free. You can be free of charge, free of accusation, free of condemnation, free of oppression. He offers to you free of charge. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You don't have to earn this gift. You don't have to labor for this gift. On the contrary, God says in Matthew 11:28, He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my burden is easy, my yoke is light. Or my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I misquoted that. God wants you to be free. We just celebrate Independence Day. Today can be a greater Independence Day. Today can be your Independence Day. The day when the chains of the enemy were broken and destroyed. This is the day that the Lord has made, and you can rejoice and be glad in it.